B-Pod Studios.
That. Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
With this virus, I do worry about, of all the sports, the one I worry about is baseball. Because baseball's a habit. If baseball doesn't play a season, we're going to go from October of 2019 to April of 2021 with no baseball. That is bad news for baseball. The NBA can overcome that. Why? Because the NBA's like Hollywood. They have stars. You ever notice that Matt Damon, he'll do like two or three movies, and for 3 years, it's all we talk about is Matt Damon. And then he'll go hang out with his family for 4 years, and we won't talk about him. And then he'll have two or three more movies, and he pops right back up. And everybody's talking about him. That's what stars can do. Denzel Washington goes 4 years, doesn't really, he's hanging out with his family. He doesn't see any scripts he likes. And then Denzel, year five or six, has two or three great movies. It's all we talk about. Because stars gain momentum quickly.
Colin Cowherd talking about Major League Baseball being unable to afford a season off. I think he's on to something there. I think baseball's death, which is happening at a slow rate right now, could be, sped up by losing a season. That's what I think could happen. We talk about baseball's, you know, viability long term all the time. We've discussed it for years.
Yeah,
for years we've talked about it. Unable to attract young fans, unable to keep, you know, young viewers that are a little bit older that are still into it. It's a bad thing that's happening with baseball right now, yeah. And it just could be made worse if they don't play.
And with the baseball having that great union that they have and your inability to get on the same page with players about, you know, trying to be creative to do things to get interest in the game better, but they don't want to disrupt the sanctity of the game or the four-hour game or, you know, there's an art to pitching, there's an art to the walk-up. Yeah, that Chris Sale thing, that little comment on that conference call stuck with me too. Like, what do you remember about that Baltimore game when you had the riots outside or the protests taking place outside, shut down the ballpark, you played the game. He goes, wow, that game moved fast. That was a fast game. Like, why can't you have that? There's a real game that took place, but it sped up. It was fast. You need that. You need more of that. And you know, players got to open their minds to that. And it just seems like they won't. They're stubborn. They're going to have a tough time fighting the union on all these changes and stuff. Beetle, you talked about it with the commissioner. And like, here, you finally got him on a pitch clock, and then you do a new CBA. Next thing you know, you're giving up everything that you've bargained for. Like, there, you got him right there, and you give in to the damn players again.
So I think that they've got a number of things that they face. The star thing is a part of it. You know, he says stars can bring back those other sports. And, you know, that might be true, and I think it is. I mean, right, stars do bring back sports, right? Can bring back your attention to the Lakers, as I mentioned earlier. A big franchise with star players, LeBron being chief among them. Don't forget Anthony Davis is there. And so, yep. Yeah, you're going to go right back to watching those guys and that team as soon as it's over. Baseball doesn't have that draw to begin with. Like the star, I also say that the chicken and egg thing applies in baseball. Does baseball not have stars because they don't have stars, or does baseball not have stars because people aren't invested enough to invest in those particular players? Because baseball on the surface has guys that should fit the category, whether it's Mookie Betts or it's Mike Trout.
Yeah.
But they don't really seem to become the stars that guys in other sports become.
Yeah. I mean, you walk around here and you see the kids out in the yard. You see them with the Edelman jerseys or, you know, you know, obviously you see the Brady ones and the Gronkowskis, or you see kids now with LeBron and Steph Curry jerseys. Which kid's out there in a baseball shirt, you know, pretending to be that guy out there making a diving, you know, over the shoulder catch? Or you just don't see it.
But if you're going to say that, you know, baseball doesn't have stars to bring it back the way, you know, basketball or football or even, you know, hockey would to a certain extent, then I would ask, well, then why are people watching it to begin with?
Okay.
If you think that you're going to need stars to bring it back, I don't think basketball would need stars to bring it back. I think basketball has stars, and that's one of the reasons why people watch. But there are people who watch baseball right now without bona fide stars that transcend the sport from team to team to team. So it for Colin Cowherd or anyone to say that, oh, the reason why they wouldn't be able to come back is because they don't have stars. Well, how does that explain the people who watch it now? Why are people watching baseball now if there are no stars? It's because they like the game. And if the game comes back, there are people who will watch. It's certainly not going to help them if they have to take an entire year off.
No, but I think it's viewing. You know, the age of the viewer is older, right?
Okay, but he's saying that they don't have stars to bring it back.
Right.
Well, then why are people watching it? Then why are people watching it now?
Are they? Are ratings
to a degree?
I mean, but in good markets, yes. Right. The good markets are never going to change. Here's what would be interesting with baseball.
Why do people watch baseball right now?
Because they like baseball. That's why.
Right. So when baseball comes back, the people like baseball will watch it.
Okay, so I'd ask you this, Hardy.
The star factor is a bad argument.
Why are ratings on the decline? If people like baseball always watch baseball, why are the ratings going down?
People are trained differently.
Because the people who
like baseball. Why is attendance going down? Both of them are going down.
The people who like baseball are dying off, literally. They're getting to the age where they're not alive anymore, or they're not going to the ballpark.
And the tempo's not bringing in the young. You know, it's you're trained differently. You want to move. Yeah. You want to bounce. Here's something interesting with baseball.
Baseball's not bringing any new fans to the game.
Say they get whacked and say they don't play. Is baseball smart enough to say, hey, this is a bad thing for us, so let's make something good out of this? When we come back next year, let's do 7-inning games. Let's do something shocking to get people to springboard back to us, or are you just going to be the same old thing? They're going to roll the same old stuff out.
I mean, 7-inning games would be the most
That's just throwing something goofy out there, okay?
Right. Or, the ratings for the Red Sox last year were down 23% on NESN from the year before. Now, granted, they had a really good team in 2018.
The team was bad. Right.
They were a wagon.
Team was bad. Yeah.
All right. So if I'm just saying, though, but if the quality of the team can swing your ratings by that much, right, then it's not just about baseball fans watch baseball. Because clearly, when a team is doing well and they're playing every day, you can attract more viewers. So if you can swing 23% in one season just based on a good team versus a mediocre team, You got to admit that the ratings can decline and the ratings can move, and we've already seen the gate drop off. Baseball's got an attendance problem over the last couple of years that they're very reluctant to admit, but you've got to admit that the sport is losing fans, and they could potentially lose fans that are not just dying off. Because you go about your summer and you do something other than watching baseball, and you say, you know what, I didn't miss it all that much. Right? From the people that are still watching out of habit, maybe if you take it away, they realize, yeah, you know what? Yeah, baseball's fine. I like it every now and again, but I'm not going to watch it as much as I did, or the habit has changed where they're not watching it as much as they used to.
And I agree with all that, and I think all of that is a real concern for baseball. What I disagree with is that you don't even have to bring up the star factor or a lack of stars in baseball to have all these problems. All these problems exist now. All these problems will exist whenever baseball comes back. Having stars present is not going to happen. They're not going to be able to create any in the time between now and when they start playing again. So that doesn't even really factor into the argument. It's more of an overall argument about the health of baseball, and any time away from the game is going to hurt them as much as it hurts anyone else, and it's going to hurt a game that is probably in the most precarious position. You know, they have more viewers and more people in attendance than hockey does, but there's not as much at stake.
Different.
Baseball is a bigger business than hockey is right now, so that's why I say their position is much more precarious than hockey is, because they've got more to lose. The owners have more to lose. The teams do. The fan base, the businesses that surround themselves with baseball have more to lose than hockey. And I think hockey is probably a more rabid core fan base.
Nacho
than baseball
fan base
does.
Like if I watch a hockey game, I want to go to a hockey game and eat nachos. If I want to go to a baseball game, I want to eat hot dogs. If you go to a football game, what do you want to eat?
That was the point I was going to make next.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Pick this up on the other side.
I want popcorn
on the other
and beer
side.
At a basketball
Thank
game.
You.
Popcorn.
We'll do more of this coming up next with your calls.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Not from 1985, Hardy.
What a great call, though, Beatle. That is a awesome birthday selection right there.
You know, the first time I ever heard this song was not Bonnie Raitt, even though I've since come to learn that this was the version. This is the song.
You know,
Tedeschi Trucks Band was the first time I'd ever heard this.
Tedeschi kills this song.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw that live. So. That was the first time I'd ever heard it.
You know where there's
but obviously
a really,
now I know the background.
You know there's a really nice version of that song in the movie Into the Wild, where the character, the Christopher McCandless character, is being courted by the underage girl, and she wants to, you know, bed him down. He's like, no, I can't do that. I'm too old for you. But you want to do something together, and they get together at Slab City, and they do a little live performance of that song. It's pretty cool. But, no, that's in tribute to John Prine. I'm sure you're playing that song, right?
Yes, who passed away. By the way, he was at the Grammys this year, and he was not an old man. I mean, he was 73, but he definitely didn't. Did he feel like an old guy to you, Hardy?
No, but he had health issues. I think he had two different cancer scares
in
the last 20 years or so. And one of them, they had to do a surgery that kind of affected his appearance. He had something removed from either his jaw or his neck or something. So he looked older than he was. But he's one of those guys that I know of a handful of his songs, but people just freaking love that guy. You know, other singer-songwriters said, oh no, he was it, but I don't think his songs had a lot of commercial appeal. They were oftentimes like either too dark or just too, I don't know, they didn't have enough pop quality to get that mass appeal going. But he was fantastic.
COVID-19 cause of death for John Prine, 73, and he wrote that song, which made most famous by Bonnie Raitt. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Phone lines are open for you. Sam and Leominster on 7-inning games. It's part of the proposal that Jeff Passan has reported on, even though Major League Baseball is trying to pump the brakes and pull that thing back. Sam and Leominster on that. Hi, Sam.
Major League Baseball has got to go to 7-inning games. The problem with these little changes that they're doing, as we've seen in the past, you're going to get too much pushback from the players. Specifically, a pitch clock. Okay, we've seen that they push back. Manfred needs to go to these players. He needs to say, I'm not going to mess with your approach at the plate. You can step out of the box. I'm not going to mess with you on the mound. You can step off the mound. But we're going seven-inning games. Okay, it's going to shorten the games. Two-and-a-half-hour, three-hour baseball games, I can commit to. When I sit down on the couch to watch a baseball game at 7 o'clock, I'm not staying up till 11:30. Nobody is. Okay? They got to go to seven-inning games. You get less pitching changes. You get more, historically it won't matter, but you get more perfect game, more no-hitters, more complete games, less at-bats. Hitters are going to take their at-bats more seriously. They're not going to worry so much about launch angle. They're going to worry about their average. Okay, you got to go to seven-inning games. Thanks, guys.
Sounds good to me. Sign them up. Players will never go for it. It's the same players that won't want to play in empty ballparks or empty arenas or empty stadiums.
Players won't go. Players won't go for the seven-inning games.
No, I don't think they will.
Why not?
Because just what he said, you're going to get less at bats. You're going to want more at bats. It's going to affect your averages. It's going to affect your numbers. Because of the sanctity of the game. How are you going to compare numbers of past?
Who cares? Baseball can't do contracts based on incentives. They don't do performance incentive contracts.
Right.
When it
there's
comes
no
to
statistical
averages,
achievement
runs,
money.
None of that crap.
Let's go, guys. Get back to the hotel quicker. Come on, we'll get on the buses. Let's move. They should want that. Same pay, less play.
I disagree with that caller saying there's going to be more seven-inning complete games. I think there's going to be more bullpen games. Even more bullpen games.
Yeah, you pull a guy out earlier.
Seven innings a night.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
I'd agree with you. Well, I think it depends on the team, though, too, Jim.
There's
like
a few
the Red
horses
Sox?
That are out there. A few guys that are horses that'll pitch those innings. And okay, the rest of the games will be all like one, two innings apiece.
Like here's the thing. You need two fewer innings of what are typical bullpen games. I mean, bullpen innings. So you're going to be more likely to just use bullpen guys in the fifth, sixth, and seventh versus having guys pitch complete games. Unless you've been hit hard and you've used up your bullpen in recent days, right? I mean, couldn't that be the case? I mean, I look at the good rotations and say, yeah, that might happen. You might have more complete games. But first of all, who gives a crap? Like, why does anyone care about that?
Will it take less time to play the games? Yes, it has to, almost certainly. And I think there probably would be, again, just using common sense, if they're using an average of 3.2 pitchers per game right now in Major League Baseball, maybe it goes down to 2.8. Great. Small steps. I'll take whatever I can get. And this is the one that nobody was on board with when they started talking about the different ways to speed up baseball. We've been talking about it for years. And different commissioners have had to address this, going back to Selig, and how they're going to change not just length of game but pace of play. And nobody ever wanted to give a seven inning game more than please, that's not going to happen. Why not? Tradition. Tradition is what's keeping this sport stuck where it is, and having the inability to get any more new fans. And it's what causes people like us to sit here and say, it doesn't matter if it goes away for a year or not. You're not going to have any more people coming back or any less people coming back. The only thing it's going to do is other people are going to find way to pass the time in a more enjoyable manner than having a baseball game on in the background for 3+ hours. I mean, they've got real issues. I don't think they'll do it. I don't think they'll even consider it. But it's nice to hear at least a few more people actually saying, yeah, seven inning game would actually be pretty good. I would love to go to and sit down and watch a seven inning game. That'd be great. I think that's perfect. When are you ready to leave a baseball game? Really, in just terms of how much time you've already invested in it, in getting to the park, going in and waiting it out. I mean, if you're a fan and you want to see every single pitch and you're going to watch it, fine, you're in for the full nine innings. Me, long about seven, I'm like, oh, let's see. Well, if we go down 1, 2, 3 here, maybe we'll get out of this inning. And by this time, you start looking at your watch. I mean, it's
the seventh inning stretch feels like you've been there too long. Time to go.
Because you have been. At that point, it's time to go. Compared to a basketball game or a hockey game, that's it. We did it now. We've done it. It's done. Let's move on with our lives. Let's go to the next thing. Or just go home.
Let's go to Lori, who's in Providence. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Happy birthday, Beetle.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I just wanted to say that I think Tom has a little bit of revisionist history going on here. I remember the Tara Reid days, and he was a little bit wild back then.
Oh, he never partied with her. Uh-uh. No.
I can remember my husband saying, good for him. He's a good, you know, and now I feel like he's not even human anymore, that he's sitting up in his ivory tower. Anyway, just wanted to let you know that I remember those days.
Oh, we remember quite clear, too. All right, thank you. My dad came up for one of those games when he was dating her, and my dad actually sat behind her and her two friends that she was with. He goes, it was one of the most disgusting displays during a game. She was hammered, drunk, and it was like second quarter. People were like, get down, sit down. She kept standing up, screaming at people. He goes, I can't believe he's dating her. Yeah, a lot of people on the inside said the same thing. But then he changed his ways. You change over time. Sort of move on from those times.
Yeah.
But at that time, that was her American Pie days, right? That was right in the middle of the first American Pie where she was big. Yeah.
Let's go to who's up next here. Oh, one second. Is it Caesar in Lowell? Caesar.
Yeah, it's Caesar.
What's up?
Hi, Caesar.
How you doing, guys? Happy birthday, B.
Thanks.
Huge fan of the show. Just want to talk about real quick of the seven innings for Major League Baseball. I completely agree with you guys. And I, you know, just like you guys, I disagree with the previous caller about the whole more complete games thing. As it is now, Major League Baseball, most pitchers only go about five innings. So, you know, they're going to end up just starting, what, three, four innings before they actually go into the bullpen because you guys don't want to pitch. Not to mention that, I mean, Rob Manfred has shown he's got no backbone when it comes to dealing with players, especially with the whole Astros debacle that he had. I mean, this guy's got he doesn't have the stones to go and talk to these players and say, hey, this is what we're going to do, and that's it. So, you know, I don't think any changes are coming. It should, because, you know, I mean, baseball is as old as time, and, you know, we've all seen a few games, and we've all been to plenty of games, but unfortunately, you know, Rob Manfred's just, I don't think he's going to get it done.
Well, I mean, I think that these are sort of uncertain times, and if they're pushed, maybe he does do something. I mean, I'm generally with you. Manfred's shown zero balls in doing anything. None. So if he changes something and actually goes outside the box and does something dramatic, it would certainly be a change for him. Because based on his track record, he won't do crap. He'll just roll the balls out. Everyone go up, you know, go out, pick up the ball, play the game, and we'll keep things exactly the way they are. Because that would be totally in line with what baseball has been. 617-779-0985. Couple open lines. You want to grab one? We got one more segment of your calls coming your way next.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got to ask you about this guy. I forget his name. I think it's Tom Brady or something like that. I heard he might be quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Maybe comment on that. But a lot of people are wondering where you're going to wind up next year. What's your thought about that?
Well, one thing you can learn about me is my faith. I have a tremendous faith in my Lord. And one thing about Tom Brady is it's understood that he is the GOAT. And for you to get replaced by Tom Brady in a city that you love so much, I guess that's kudos to me. But at the end of the day, it's a competitive sport. We all in the business. So I'm excited for whatever opportunity may hold. And eventually I'm going to have to play the Tom Brady's, the Patrick Mahomes, and all the other great quarterbacks eventually. So well, that's how you win Super Bowls, and that's what I want.
Jameis Winston, who's been replaced in Tampa Bay by Tom Brady.
Tough spot there. That sucks for him. I mean,
that's Jameis Winston, who is drafted to be a franchise quarterback. He's not that at the moment, and he may never be that again. That's the situation with Jameis Winston. He was on Fox News in that interview. That's where that audio is from. It's from this morning. I got to say, whoever's working with him on rehabbing his image, good job on their part.
I don't know how else he's supposed to answer that.
Well, no, I'm not talking about that. He was actually on Fox News because he helped launch a screening platform for people who might think they have COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
He launched a hotline and a website
that you can go and you can either call on the phone or you can go to the website, and it asks you a number of questions in helping you determine if you think you should get further medical assistance, if you will, or should be seen by a doctor. That's for him. Like, I'm surprised that this is not the Jameis Winston that I've come to know, Zoe.
Right.
Launching
big boy,
a helpful,
he's not
helpful
crab legs. You know.
But I just looked at the website. It's like a helpful, free website that doesn't require you to sign up or buy anything or anything like that. It's just a very basic website that asks you a number of questions to try and determine if you need to be seen by a doctor.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's him and a doctor that teamed up, that have sponsored it and are doing it. Okay. Well, that's good on your part, man. Good for you. That's excellent. And now he's got that pretty pretty good answer there on getting replaced in Tampa Bay. I still think he sucks as a quarterback. I wouldn't want him as my team's quarterback.
I knew that was coming.
But yeah. Maybe that guy's grown up a little bit.
Yeah. It's just weird, man. Throwing for 5,000 yards, you think you don't have a job. You know, and I just remember all guys that hit those 4,000 markers and all that. And yeah, he may turn it over a lot, but at least he's still in the league. Like, he's jobless right now. People aren't touching him. I saw some stuff today, too. Some scouts think they're looking into more of the fumble stuff and the non-recovered fumbles than they are the actual interceptions. And that's the ones that are really keeping him out, that he just doesn't protect the football. And it's a drive killer for teams.
It is funny, though, when he says, like, you know, it's a badge of honor to be replaced by Tom Brady. It's like, the only way they could improve upon me is to bring in the greatest of all time. So, yeah.
I did it. Know. I did it.
Like, that's not exactly, you know, I see how you're connecting the dots there, Jameis, but one doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the other. It's just, you know. I'm glad you're making lemonade out of this, but
you know what I'd say? I'd say, well, Teddy Bridgewater's not the greatest of all time, and he was going to replace you.
He was
Brady.
Plan B, right? I wouldn't even know if he was door two. There may have been Brady, Bridgewater, door two, then you. You may have been fourth on the pecking order. I would love to have like a mic'd up Bruce Arians on the sidelines, like during these games when he's throwing picks. Because it seems to me like Arians calls it like he sees it. Like, yeah, I'll pick up the phone for Tom Brady. I'll do that. Heck yeah. Do you want me to call Jason? You want to call Jameis? Like, nope. Don't need to text him. I'll just tell it right now. Like, he must have lost his mind when he was throwing those picks. Like, another damn pick six. Jesus. Hardy, we got the cartoon up again, huh? Cartoon Hardy up. What is he? Hardy looks like a skater boy now or something. I don't know. He's got the rough look. They got you with the facial hair. They change his things?
I haven't looked at it yet.
No.
Let me take a look.
Nope,
I hope they change your porthole again, though. Maybe they took that wave window away.
Brian's in West Roxbury. Brian.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Quick question.
Hey.
What do you think would be more detrimental, the MLB not having a season or with the NHL's expiring contract coming up in September, them just going straight into a lockout after the pandemic kind of winds down? I'll let you guys talk about it. Thanks.
Yeah, that could be brutal. That could be brutal if they go from
both
pandemic to labor issues. I haven't really given that a lot of thought.
Yeah.
I would say not even.
Obviously, that's bad.
Yeah, it would absolutely be bad. I'm trying to get the details on that.
Like, one's worse than the other. I mean, I would think a labor dispute would be worse than, you know, your sport just not playing. So, yeah. That'd be 2 years off. Ooh. They'd come to agreement on something.
Because I remember, what did they decide last fall? That they were opting in? Players opted in, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the deal? I'm going to look more into that. It's a good question. Yeah. I'm not going to give you a crappy answer. I want to look into that. Figure that one out. I haven't given that one any thought whatsoever. But a labor stoppage would be less than ideal after all this. Chris in Hartford. Chris.
Hey, fellas. Hey, listen, when you talk about shortening the game, you cannot take away the at-bats. You cannot tell a pitcher to, you know, to quicken up in that respect. But what you can do, and this is what they do, especially like if rain is going to be coming in for a game, they will shorten the pitches for the pitcher in between innings. So what we do is the starting pitcher has five pitches in between the inning. the ground balls to the infielders. You get one, you toss it around, play a little pepper, you get the inning started. You can knock off an about an hour each in between for each team is about 3 minutes, okay? That is where you do this. You take away the hour, you keep people in their seats, bring the hot dogs to them. That's what you do.
You think you can save an hour of time in between innings?
Yeah. I timed it. Beetle, it's 3 minutes in between each
inning. So what are you going to shorten it down to? What are you going to shorten it down to?
Oh, it's going to be probably about 220 for a game.
No, what are you shortening the 3 minutes down to?
10
seconds. Zero?
Gets five. No, he gets five pitches.
Okay, by the time he gets out there and has the five pitches, how many minutes do you think that will take?
Not what they're doing right now.
Okay, you got to go do some math, Chris, because you don't have an answer. That's not a plan. Going to eliminate an hour of the game by shortening up in between innings. First of all, they've already done that. It's proven not to be enough, and they still have to pay their bills. I don't mind MLB paying their bills by taking 2 minutes in between half innings. I don't mind that. What I cannot stand is watching David Price stand on the mound for 50 seconds in between pitches. That drives me crazy. I don't mind a commercial. I know how long it is. I can get up. I can go get a drink. I can go to the bathroom. I can walk around the room for 2.5 minutes. What I have no control over is watching a pitcher on the mound who takes forever and then steps off the mound and then throws to first 6, 8, 10 times in a row, whatever it might be on an extreme day. And no, it's not
Beetle,
the in-between innings.
It's not just the pitchers, too. What happened to them enforcing the rules that were already on the books, which they did half-assed for about 20 minutes?
The players got their way again.
Back about in the batter's box. Like, you don't leave the batter's box unless you've made – it was supposed to be unless you've made contact with the pitch, I believe was what the rule was. Like, even if you took a cut at it, if you whiffed on it, you stay in the box and you get – these guys are constantly stepping out again. And they barely enforced it, and it didn't last. Like, we've seen other pitchers get frustrated from time to time. You know, get your ass back in the box. These guys won't do it. It's on both sides. It's not just the pitchers. It's the batters, too. Step out, adjust the gloves. And now we know a lot of it was probably them looking out to center field, trying to get a gauge on what pitch was coming next. Or they're waiting for the banging of a garbage can somewhere. So that explains some of it away. But, you know, it's not just the pitchers, you know, delivering the pitch. It's the batter staying in the damn box. That would speed things up immeasurably.
Yes, all true. All absolutely true. Get that thing moving in between pitches. All this time out of the box, adjusting the gloves, adjusting the helmet like you're talking about. Oh, man, that stuff gets tedious. It really does. We have today's takeaways.
Yes, we do. Birthday boy, buckle
I'm
up.
I'm sure T-Bone has updated my birthday salute.
Oh, you cake right. eater. What kind of cake nice. You eat tonight?
That is coming up next.
Nice.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's me.
All right, today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Virtual programs now. That's right. We're doing it over the internet with your iPhones, your iPads, your computers. Check it all out at awaken180weightloss.com. They'll coach you up right there in the comforts of your own house. Do the weigh-ins. Drop the weight while you sit in confined. And then you break out when we're all free of this crap and go nuts out there when we get back out to the public. All right? So there you go. We got a couple things today.
A couple of items, one being from the Howard Stern interview with Tom Brady earlier today. One of the questions that we didn't get to was about living in Derek Jeter's home in Tampa.
It's weird to me. You're staying at Jeter's place, and what are you doing right now? You're trying to find your own place, right? Or are you planning on just staying in Jeter's place?
No, I'm going to stay here for a while. Because I had to find a place on really short notice, and he's been a friend of mine, so... we just talked and it all worked out because he's living in Miami. He owns part of the baseball team there. So, you know, it just worked out perfect for me being here and kind of getting my life started here.
And the thing I heard about Jeter's place, which is great, he got special permission to build super high walls so no one can get to you. Because I got to figure the fans down there are driving you up a wall. I mean, you know, literally. So Jeter has super high walls and no one can see you, right? It's almost like Osama bin Laden's compound.
Not quite. That's a, you know, where I lived in Chestnut Hill, I was pretty private for a long time. So I forgot, you know, in a way, like people could drive up to your house because you couldn't quite drive up to my house where I lived in Chestnut Hill. But here, man, they could pull right up and to the back of the house. So Derek did a pretty good job of screening it. And I think I'm a little bit of a introvert. I feel like my house is kind of the place where I can relax. And, you know, when you walk outside the house, you understand everything that goes along with being me. And, you know, and I think part of it is when I come home, I want to feel like I can, you know, let my guard down and relax. But this is a little different because when you go out to the backyard, there's a lot of boats that have pulled up and people out the front. But
how does it work, Tom,
it's
just, though?
It's a little different.
God, that sucks.
Well, the backyard is like, not exactly large.
It's not large.
It's right on the water, and you can drive your boat right up to it.
Dude, I remember my in-laws used to stay across the street, or across the intercoastal from Del Arnhart. And when we were down there for the Indy 500, when he died, and to see the amount of boat traffic that just anchor up out, they pull up right outside the house, and these people are trying to see in, and he's got his boats out there. People are trying to tie up to him. Imagine him going outside. I only want to do is sit out by my pool with my kids. And you got all these himos driving up in their boats. Hey, man, what's up? The guys in T-shirts. You know what Tampa people look like. Oh, my God. Tank tops and socks up to their knees. That's Tom Brady's house. Poor Brady on that one.
You think that's how they drive around in their boats with socks up to their knees?
Yeah, some of them. Head down there. It's a weird faction of people, man. I'm telling you. It's not Palm Beach. It's not Palm Beach. It's not Lauderdale. Beetle, okay. You're down Lauderdale. You could tell who the Northeasterners are from Lauderdale when you're walking around Lauderdale. Guys got tattoos and tank tops, jorts, wristband watch. Good times.
Yeah, I know. Oh, great times.
Chewbacca's birthday, huh?
Oh, no. It's mine? Yeah. Mine just dipped?
Yes, it did.
Damn it.
We better get to Beatles birthday then, huh?
All right then, let's do it.
You can look cool slapping the bass, you know? In an eye-catching pink color.
Oh, you sexy thing, you.
It'll put some pink in your cheeks. Oh, and it's grabbing him by the back of the neck and like rubbing it out for him.
Well, I'm gonna override the geofencing and get it over Fenway.
Back it up, Charisse.
Coming hard.
Inside of the leg, they said.
Oh, he's shaving his thighs.
Yeah, but how big was it?
Jesus, Beetle.
It's everywhere. The cartoons and John Farrell's lobster boat. Who wants to deal with this guy, period, thinking he's that as good as he thinks he is. By the way, Tom vs. Time was nominated for an Emmy. Oh, Demaryius Thomas is inactive? Yeah, we don't need him anyway.
No problem.
No worries.
Draft Holy your guy.
And we're now into August, which means September's next month.
You don't want smooth balls.
We're talking about contraception for SEALs. These other PR firms, I just looked up the one that just screwed us over.
Yeah, that's a good one.
In
that's
Chicago.
A good PR.
Jill Schmidt, they good?
That's a really good one.
Yeah, they're not very good. Jelly month of the club.
Hey, put the seed then you blow? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you put a seed down
Hardy,
step on it.
Does that make any sense? Put down seed and then blow?
Sakeith,
Shruthika, Sohum, Abhijay, Chris. Chris.
Who's Chris?
Those are the kids in the spelling bee.
Oh my God, that's right.
Let me ask you something. How long, if you had to guess, did we allow the conversation about blowing, mowing,
and what was the other? Whackings to go on. How long did we talk about that?
A couple days.
5 hours.
Couple of shows. It's at least a couple of shows.
I'm going to go outside and scrape my yard up right now.
Felger Mads coming your way next here on the Sports Hub.
All right, guys.
We'll do it again
tomorrow.
Happy
birthday, Beetle. Happy birthday.
See you guys. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.